Romans chapter 5. Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, and then we will have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you once again, Lord. I thank you for an opportunity to be in your house. I thank you for your word, the power of your word. And Lord, that you would open my heart and you would open all of our hearts tonight, that we might receive your word, that we might be strengthened and encouraged by it. Help me to be able to convey what you've laid on my heart for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 5, if you want a title for the Bible study tonight, it's "And That's Not All." We may begin a new study, it may be January 1 before we begin a series, and so it may be sporadic messages until that point. I don't know, I knew during the week last week that I wanted to preach from these verses, but I preached from these verses many times, and I thought maybe I shouldn't. And then I heard a statement Sunday morning. I had to text Pastor Stone today to make sure I got it right. And he said, "If the path to the well is well worn, you know the water is good." And he said that in reference to preachers going to the same, you know, passages over and over. And here in Romans chapter 5, so I just felt, I knew right then, okay, that's where we're going Wednesday night. And I went to look to see how many times I've preached from just these passages. And I'm talking about not just Romans 5, but just the first five verses. And I found 6 sermon outlines. I preached it for a summer camp. So that's 5 more, if you want to add those. And I may have missed one or two. But at the very least, we're on about number 12 out of 14 years. I counted the amount of outlines I had. I did not look at them. But I started over studying, if you will. And so here we go for maybe the 12th time. And so... let's go ahead and read all 5 verses. We're going to focus on 3 through 5. But it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Well, you know, when the drug addict cannot shake their addiction, they go to some drastic measures sometimes to try to solve their problem. They take some radical steps. Many times they will lock themselves in a room for 3 to 4 days and go through withdrawal. They know they're putting themselves in a very uncomfortable, difficult situation. They know it's going to drive them crazy, but they want to get better. And in order to get better, sometimes you first have to get worse. Sometimes in 3 to 4 days of torture to be able to get better. Then the drug addict can start to try to live again. Before some things get real good, sometimes they get real bad. There's something real good for us that we read here. By faith, we've been justified by faith. We have been declared guiltless. We have been made righteous. We are justified by faith. A change in relations happened between us and God when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We went from hostility with God to peace with God. And by this faith that this happened in, it has brought us into a field of grace where we stand. And we rejoice in hope. The object of our hope is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has brought about rejoicing for us in our personal Savior. Man, what a wonderful thing right there. We're set for heaven, but God's not finished yet. And He says, after all of that, He says, and not only so, or like the title I gave to the message, and that's not all. Or God's not through with us yet at that point, because then comes the trouble. In verse 3, you find the word tribulations. And we all go through that. We've been accepted into the heavenly. Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. But that does not mean that we are exempt from earthly events. We have pressures and we have trials that we go through. And there was a time that they swamped us. There was a time that they overwhelmed our lives. We have pressures and afflictions. And we have been defeated by those things before we came to faith in Jesus. But now that we're justified, there's something that causes us to rejoice, even in the midst of our trials. Even when we're slammed with problems, there's a reason to rejoice, and the child of God is called to rejoice. After being justified, we're not to be found continually discouraged and cast down in the dungeon of despair as children of God. We are no longer hopeless. There was a time when we were hopeless and we didn't know the Lord and we hadn't made peace with God. But we are not hopeless anymore. We're not hopeless when things are good, and we're not hopeless when things are difficult either. There's something purposeful and meaningful in everything we go through. And that's not just being cliche in Christian jargon. It's very true of the Christian. Everything we go through, it has some meaning to it, and there's some purpose in it from God. We have more to consider when we get into difficult situations than we're in trouble. There's something more for us to consider. There's something more for us to say. And that might be, we're in trouble, but our Father saw it coming. Our Father, who we are under the watchful eye of, who cares for His children. He who says that He is working all things out for His glory, that all things work for the good. We believe that so we do not wilt in our time of temptation and the trouble that we go through. This well-worn passage is very much needed continually in all of our lives to take us from drifting into the mindset of trials are bad, period, and that's it, to trials are beneficial, as in, or trials bring about benefit. There is going to be some advantage that comes out of the trials of the child of God. We need to learn this, or we need to be reminded of this tonight. Because the pressures that come day to day, they just seem to adhere to one another, and it starts to roll downhill, and pressures can become very great. And the world says, why all these trials and fall apart? And we must say, God is working out some benefits in our lives as a result of us going through these trials. The Bible says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In Revelation we read, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We have been given an edge over trials as children of God. We've been given endurance in trials. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That word patience, it means endurance. It means steadfastness. It means fortitude. It speaks of perseverance, patience does. Patience doesn't just sit back and take it. That's not a great picture of patience. But patience means not to swerve in the face of adversity. And there's an activity in this word, as in to face our trial, to face the trouble that we're going through, and that there is a conquering and an overcoming of our trouble that we learn and have in this patience. And we deal with it and take it in a patient frame of mind. But we press at and we press through the trials, knowing that we have a purpose in them that God has appointed that we fulfill, that we learn in, that we are taught in our trial. You know, the beginning of a trial can be difficult. Don't feel unspiritual when you're shocked at the beginning of a trial. Don't feel unspiritual when you're overwhelmed with concern at the news of a trial, or at your event of stepping into a trial and it starting to take place. It can be difficult. But for the Christian, there are some things that we can see at the end of our problem in advance right now. And that is, it's going to end. It is going to be conquered. I mean, it might not, I can say that absolutely, because when we get to heaven, it definitely will. And you might say, Brother Kenneth, I might have 50 more years on this earth. I don't want it to end just when I go to heaven. Well, think about heaven for all of eternity without it. But nevertheless, God takes care of a lot of these things now. But we can see some things at the end of our trial. And that is, it is going to be overcome. And something else that we can see in and at the end of our trial is that we're going to gain strength in the midst of our adversity. We're going to gain strength in our problem. But not only that, more patience. Tribulation worketh patience. We're going to possess that very valuable thing as a result of our trial, or in the midst of our trial. And so James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We've been given the edge over trials. We've been given endurance in our trials, and then experience by endurance. It says that tribulation worketh patience, and then it says, and patience experience. I thought about throwing this on you. I guess I'm going to. Can we call tribulations the gift that keeps on giving? Because look through here at what we have. Experience by endurance. The justified in Jesus who remain under the governing hand of God in their trial in a God-honoring way and learning the God-given lessons meets God's approval as we go through our trial. And we come out stronger than we were before. And we become more familiar with the strength of God. There's so many times, I think of how Brother Rick just prayed, and so many times we act in our own strength or something just as bad. We think we're doing something in our strength when it's the Lord's. But we learn how to appropriate the strength of the Lord as a result of our trials and the patience we get. There is experience in this. There is the experience of growing in strength. That's what that experience means. It'll speak of integrity as well. That's what'll be a result in this. It's a tried character when we go through trials. And this experience, it is strength for us. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And here's a process right here by which He does this. He doesn't just sprinkle some pixie dust on us and we're strengthened in the inner man. God's working and exercising us, and He does it through trials, and He builds us up with patience as a result. And then this experience, Colossians says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Listen to the words of these verses, and it starts to connect. Isaiah, it says, fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And that is a lot of what this experience is all about that comes about in our lives. We are approved by God by the test of our faith through trial, and we are strengthened. But it doesn't stop there. Patience, experience, and experience worketh hope. So let's talk about some expectation by experience here. Our hope. We have something we trust in that is a guarantee. We look and we long for our promised future with greater and greater assurance through trial, through this process. Not that we don't have complete assurance from the moment we're saved. We do. But the experience of that assurance, it's stirred up. This hope is stirred up through this process that we see, we are actively relying on the Lord, and there's a certainty that continues to become stronger in our lives and overwhelm us. And the Lord is our surety, the Bible says. The justified draw closer to the Lord as a result of this experience. And look, where we started here, there in verse 3, this starts with tribulation after God saves a soul. It takes us to a place in a continual active hope for the glory of God. The hope that we've been given, it's so God can be glorified with it. And the trials come our way, and God builds these things into us, and we have a greater, more personal experience of our hope. After walking through our trials, we walk in a perfect assurance. We draw closer and closer to the Lord. This hope that we have, it is an inward possession for the child of God. And we are affected by it more and more. Experience worketh hope. And then we're given exaltation by this expectation of hope we have. It says in verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed." The inward possession of the hope we have in Jesus Christ, it will never disappoint us. It will never go away. We will never lose our hope. Nothing this world offers is ever guaranteed. I was blessed in a special way one time, but it had to do with something that could go away anytime. And I always kept that in mind. It was, you know, the things of this world, you know, of course not sinful things, but other things are given to enjoy. And can be used for the glory of God. And so I think of some way that I was blessed by the Lord, and I always had a little bit of an anxiousness in me because I knew it could always go away. And so I knew to thank God for it and use this or that, but to never depend upon it to always be there. And then there came a time that it was gone for a good reason. And I'm confusing you. I'm not going to tell you the subject to distract from it. But for a good reason, it was gone. It was a reason that glorified God and a decision I had to make for God. And that was gone. And I always kept in my mind that it could be, don't depend on this, don't embrace this too much. But we have this inward possession of hope, and there is no concern to ever have concerning what we have in Jesus Christ. Hope maketh not ashamed. The hope we have in Jesus Christ will never let you down. He's always going to be there. He has come to stay. Our hope is going to be fulfilled. In the mind, the heart, the works, and the acts of God, all of the promises made to us, everything that our hope consists of, it is done. It is already done in the work of God. And we can depend upon it. We're going to receive the promises of God and live forever in the presence of God. And nothing can deceive that. Nothing can confound or manipulate what God has provided and given to us. We have a hope. The believer in Jesus Christ is justified. A few chapters over, in chapter 9, the very last verse says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Peter has told us, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian," go back to that tribulation, incorporate this, "yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on this behalf." The older John says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." The psalmist says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Why do we love his word? Why do we go to his word? It's never going to let us down. No one's ever going to dismiss the truth of God. The word of God is never going to pass away. So we obey his commandments, and we're never going to be ashamed. We started out tonight in this portion of this study with tribulation. The tribulation that God allows. And we end here tonight with the love that God assures. Verse 5, the whole verse says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Do you see that right there? I don't want to get off track, but the Holy Ghost is given unto us when we're saved. We don't earnestly seek the Holy Spirit to try to receive Him after we're saved. He is given unto us. And the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. And in all the workings of God, in this patience, in this experience, and hope, we are grown in this personal relationship, in this personally applied relationship through trials. We are grown and matured in the love of God. And understanding, we're matured in an understanding of what God has done for us to justify us, and all He's doing to prepare us for eternity with Him in heaven. What an experience we have in the Lord that, and He didn't just take us from being saved to heaven. A lot of times at a funeral, someone will mention the birth date and the date of the passing of one, and then say something about the dash in the middle. Say something about the dash being the life that they had in the middle. Well, what about the dash between the day we were saved and the day that the Lord takes us home to heaven? Because we start out being justified by faith, and we go from enmity with God to peace with God, and we are placed to stand in grace. And hey, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But that's not all. God's not finished. There's a dash between that day of salvation and the day that we go to be with the Lord. We have been made aware of God's love here, and we get to experience it in a deep sense. But verse 8 there says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We're made conscious of His love, of His care for us. And the justified get to have a personal experience of all of these things in this life before we're taken home to heaven. we get a personal experience of the love of God in our lives, something that is above and beyond a love in our marriage, something that is above and beyond our own love for our dear children, the loving relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. He loves us, and He gave His Son for us, and we listen to the Lord, and we learn of His love for Him, His love for us, and we love Him, and we show it by being faithful to His Word. That's how we love Him back. Jesus says this, John 14:23, "If a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." We show him we love him by obedience to His Word. We get all of this experience from the day we're saved until the day He takes us home to glory. We're to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." We're to always be ready and looking for His second coming. But how about all He's given us to experience in this life after the moment He saves us? Even though He promises these trials, He promises these troubles in our lives, but He promises to do such amazing things in our life as a result. We have the edge on these troubles. We have the endurance of these troubles. We are going to be strengthened. We are going to be able to be approved of God. He is testing our faith, and He's looking to stamp us with approval. Let us look at these trials, and let us see what God is doing in the midst of them. We get all this experience from the day we're saved till the day we go to be with the Lord. We're saved, we're given peace, we have grace, we rejoice in hope. But that's not all, God says. And He makes mention of those things that we go through. May we not miss or misunderstand that this dash from the moment we're saved until the moment that the Lord takes us home to heaven. When the trials come, let's make sure that we don't misunderstand what God is up to in the midst of them. Amen. All right. Brother Jeff, good to see y'all here tonight. And I'm going to ask you to close our Bible study in a word of prayer. God bless you all for being here this evening.